I'm Amanda Godin, a master's student at Mississippi State University. I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit about my project, a study on the effects of combining genes from Lonnern and Barberin germplasm sources on reniform resistance. First, I'm going to briefly go over the reniform problem, then describe the two sources of resistance, the Barberin and Lonnern germplasm lines, then discuss combining of those genes of resistance through line development and subsequent evaluation of those lines. Then go over some of my preliminary results. Reniform nematodes are a worm-like organism that are very prevalent in cotton fields. They're easily spreadable as well as fairly difficult to control. There was an estimated, in 2015, there was an estimated loss of 33,000 bales in Mississippi, and 111,000 bales were lost nationally. There are a few chemical control methods available for nematodes. However, one of the more heavily used ones, Timic, is no longer available. And while there are other alternate nematicides, they're often expensive and not always feasible for a grower's plan. However, recently, two sources of host plant resistance have been recently transferred into upland cotton from related cotton species. And ever since then, breeders and researchers have been working to characterize those lines. A tool that was heavily used in the development of those lines, as well as a study, were markers, which are a unique sequence of DNA associated with a trait, used to identify traits throughout breeding programs. And we heavily used marker-assisted selection, which is plant selection based on the presence of markers. We do this by collecting a quarter-sized leaf sample of new growth from tagged plants, and then we keep it in a negative 80-degree freezer until we can transfer it to the USD ARS genomics lab, where we conduct processing and scoring of samples. The first source of reniform resistance was developed from related cotton species Gossypium longicalix at Texas A&M University. And soon after, they found a marker associated with the gene conferring resistance, which is referred to as the Rin-Lon gene, located on chromosome 11. It was registered in 2014 and exhibited very strong reniform control in greenhouse trials. However, nematologists and breeders began to note significant stunting occurring under reniform pressure. And this is thought to either be due to the resistance mechanism itself through a hypersensitive response or increased injury and disease susceptibility, or deleterious genes or loss of beneficial genes through linkage drag. The second source of reniform resistance was developed from Gossypium barberin accession GB713, which was found during reniform screenings at Texas A&M. They also identified molecular markers associated with the two genes conferring resistance, the RIMBARB1 and RIMBARB2 genes, both located on chromosome 21. It was registered in 2015 and exhibits good resistance in control conditions and reniform-infested soils, and no stunting has been noted so far. So to briefly summarize all of that, the Lonnern breeding line exhibits a very high level of reniform resistance. It performs well in the absence of reniform nematode, however, it becomes severely stunted under reniform pressure. The Barberin breeding line also exhibits high resistance, and it performs acceptably regardless of reniform presence in the soil. So since the source of stunting in Lonnern has yet to be fully described, and rather than abandoning this potentially important source of reniform resistance, we wondered what would happen if we combine the two sources of resistance into a closely related population. It's possible that combining it with another mechanism of resistance, especially if the stunting is due to the mechanism of resistance, would result in a usable and unique form of reniform resistance. So it was this line of questioning that led to my thesis: what is the effect of combining genes from Lonnern and Barberin breeding sources on reniform resistance? And the first step to answering this is taking a measure of the actual reniform resistance in growth chambers. And to do that, we first had to develop closely related populations. So in 2010, Dr. Ted Wallace and Dr. Peggy Thaxton made a number of crosses between RIN-Barb and RIN-Lon parents. There, and in 2013, six of those populations were identified, developed from those crosses. There were five F2 and one F4 population that were all segregating for the three genes. Those populations were planted out in the 2013 breeding nursery, and marker-assisted selection was used to select plants with various gene combinations to create the gene combo study. So here we have a summary of that. Here's the designation and the generation, and then the number of plants that were selected per population. And then here we have the abbreviated pedigree. And as you can see, the Rin-Lon donor parent for all lines was the Lonnern-1. And then all of the Rinbarb 1 and Rinbarb 2 donor parents were derived from the Gosybium barbonate source of resistance. Those plants selected in 2013 were planted in progeny rows in 2014. There were 59 entries, and they were planted in a one-by-one skip. Plants were thinned to one plant per foot to facilitate sampling, and we did GMO testing and removed all GMO-positive plants prior to sampling for marker-assisted selection. Leaf samples from marker analysis were collected from each plot from tagged plants, and that number was the number collected was based on the total number of samples allowed due to cost and resources and time, and the zygosity of the RINLON gene. We were at this point we were selecting for heterozygous RINLON gene in hopes of trying to capture as many different gene combinations as possible. So those plants finally selected were tagged and selfed and then harvested. And then we planted them in summer 2015. But our goal this summer was to identify all of these eight gene combinations listed here. Within a single population that's closely related. And we were, once again, they were planted into progeny rows and plants were marker tested. And we found in two populations, we found two populations that contained all of these eight genotypes. Those plants were then flagged and selfed and harvested. And the seed, so here we have those two populations that were identified. Here's the abbreviated pedigree for each of those. GB represents the Rinbarb genes, and L represents the LONRIN, or the RINLON gene, sorry. And then S represents the susceptible, and as you can see, we had representatives of all of those genotypes within these two populations. So in fall 2015 through summer 2016, we took that self seed from the 2015 growing season, and some of that was sent to the Cotton Winter Nursery. Unfortunately, our stuff was in the group that didn't get planted until very late, so we didn't get any seed back until about halfway through the summer of 2016. So we also went ahead and planted all genotypes in a greenhouse where we conducted marker-assisted selection, and that, I mean, marker testing, just to make sure we still didn't have a lot of segregation going on. And those plants were, that seed is what we decided to use for resistance testing. So in fall 2016, we finally began resistance testing at the USD-ARS Stonewall facility. Seed from all eight genotypes by the two populations plus two parental lines were planted into 120 cc's of sterilized soil in a container. However, we had some major germination problems, so it led to having to really reorganize the tests, and it hit the two, hit the two parental lines very hard. So we ended up only having six plants per genotype per population. After establishment, we inoculated with vermiform nematodes at 2 weeks. Three reps of each genotype by population were inoculated with our high level of nematodes, 5,000, and three were inoculated with zero. We harvested the test at 60 days, and nematodes were extracted from the roots and soil. Vermiform nematodes were extracted using standard elutriation and sucrose centrifugation, and then eggs were extracted from the roots by cutting up the roots and storing them in a bleach solution and then rinsing onto a sieve. We counted both the eggs and female nematodes, and those counts were recorded, corrected and recorded, and used to calculate RF, or reproduction factor, which is the final count of nematodes of both eggs and female nematodes over the initial inoculation level. We also collected roots and shoots, did shoot length measurements, and dried for 72 hours in a 60 degrees Celsius dryer. Weights were recorded, and we used that to calculate the shoot-to-root ratio. And then we did a very basic analysis, and here are some of our early results. Unsurprisingly, the null genotype performed generally not as well as the other reniform resistance lines, which, I mean, it doesn't have any reniform resistance. You expect a high reproduction factor and high counts of nematodes. However, a bit surprisingly, the GB1 or RINBARB1 gene performed the worst overall and had some of the highest nematode counts as well as the overall highest reproduction factor. I think in some research and in some literature, it's been noted that the GB2 or the RINBARB2 gene is the most important for the barberin source of resistance, and this sort of lends some credit to that. I'd also like to note, particularly in the lock-transformed nematode counts, as well as overall that the Lonrin gene, when they were included, had slightly lower nematode counts and slightly better reproduction factor. Here we have the means of mass length of the shoot length, total mass, and the ratio. Once again, the null for the shoot length and total mass, the null and the GB1 were the lowest overall. However, there was not any significant difference in the ratio mean, which could be due to a number of factors. It's a very small plant in a very small container, as well as, you know, we didn't have very uniform germination to start with. So some preliminary conclusions. The RIMBARB1 is likely not the most important gene for the barberin source of resistance. The Lonrin and barberin sources exhibit strong resistance, but so far combinations of genes were not overall significantly better, though I think you can see that there's possibly some interactions going on. It's possible that a larger test with more replications will reveal something more about stunting, as well as other genotype interactions. In the future, we're going to conduct two repeated growth chamber studies, like the one I just described, on a much larger scale, with three inoculation levels, the null, the middle, and the high, and five replications per genotype per population. Then in the future, we're going to conduct field testing and a replicated yield trial to compare the effects of combinations on the important traits of yield and fiber quality. And we're also hoping to plant one of these yield trials in reniform-infested soils to see if we can notice any stunting under reniform pressure. I'd like to give a special thanks to my committee and their technicians, as well as Cotton Incorporated. Are there any questions? Yes? Like I said, I think it's the fact that it was such a small plant and such a small container, and it could also possibly, we had some germination issues, so it's possible that just due to some stuff not germinating as quickly as others did, that we kind of lost that difference.
Population, a very aggressive population?
Of nematodes?
Yeah.
I'm not really sure.
Any other questions?
Yes, we're going to keep the 5,000 level, and we're also going to add in a middle level of 2,300, and then we're going to keep the zero level of inoculation.
Any others?
Okay,
thank
you.
Ma'am.